But 2 weeks ago, Brother Rusty was tied up, so I was starting to prepare a message 2 weeks ago, and I just gave you a little taste, a little book report of what we were going to talk about tonight. So I do have a full message on what I talked about, you know. So our text is in verse 38 and 39, so if you want to turn there. I know what book. I don't know what book. Psalms. Psalm 38 and 39. Yes. You know, it's just, yeah, Psalm 38 and 39. You know, if you remember 2 weeks ago when I just shared real briefly what the Lord had for me to share tonight, it was about that we had to be like a deaf man or a dumb man when people speak against us. So tonight I'll be able to share the whole teaching. Well, in verse 38, you know, David is he's asking the Lord not to rebuke him in his wrath, not to chasten him in his hot displeasure, and that he says, "There's no soundness in my flesh because of your anger. There's no rest in my bones because of my sin." He says, "My iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." Verse 5, "My wounds stink and they're corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long." He says, "My loins are filled with a loathsome disease. There is no soundness in my flesh." Loins. When you talk about our loins, it was what are our loins? Sounds like it's our waist, you know, our right here, the viscera, if you want to use a. It says his, so he's talking about his heart. His heart, his liver are filled with a terrible disease. He says, verse 8, "I am feeble. I am broken. I have roared. I have groaned by reason of the disquietness of my heart." He says, "Lord, all my desire is before thee. My groaning is not hid from thee." You know, so he's calling out to the Lord. He's in pain. He's hurting. He's hurting physically and emotionally and spiritually. He says, "My heart pants. My strength fails me. As for the light of mine eyes, it has gone from me." And then he says, "My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my soul." They're standing away from him because he's sick. He said, "And my kinsmen stand afar off." And then verse 12, that's kind of our text, is verses 12 through 15. He says, "They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long." So verse 12, he says, "They that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, or wicked things, terrible things, and they imagine deceits." He says, "Because they speak deceits against me, they speak wicked things against me. I am as a deaf man." He says, "But I, as a deaf man, heard not. And I was as a dumb man that opened not his mouth." You know, he says, they're saying terrible things about him, but he's not hearing it. He's not responding. He's not saying anything. He says, verse 14, "Thus I was as a man that hears not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs." So he's being, terrible things are being said to him, but he's saying, "I'm a deaf man. I don't hear them." He says, "I'm a dumb man. I'm not going to say anything about it." In verse 15, "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou will hear me, O Lord, my God." You know, so the Lord hears. The Lord hears, and he's going to be as a deaf man. When people say wicked things to hurt you, you know, be deaf. Be dumb. Just don't hear it. Don't respond. Don't argue with them. Just be deaf. Just be dumb. Because like verse 15 says, God hears. God hears what's going on. And wait on him. Trust him to take care of you. You should say nothing because you expect him to protect you. There's no pride in being a deaf mute. If you think about it, if you know a deaf, mute, a man who's deaf and mute, it's hard for him to be proud. It's hard for us to be proud if we're thinking of ourselves as deaf and mute, because you're sort of handicapped, you know, and you feel like you're kind of not a full man. But that's how David, as he's writing the psalm, he says that's how we should be. We should be as a deaf mute when people speak evil against us, when people are trying to hurt us with their words, just don't hear it. And if you turn over to verse 39, chapter 39, Psalm 39, chapter 1, he said, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. You know, he said, I'm not going to sin with my tongue. I'm being careful not to sin with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, like a horse or like a dog who puts a muzzle on his mouth. I will keep my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. So if the wicked are before me, I'm going to bridle my tongue, or I'm going to muzzle my mouth so that I can't say anything. And then he says in verse 2, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. He was dumb with silence. He held his peace even from good. So, you know, when the wicked are before you, don't let them provoke you to sin. Hold your tongue. Even if you think you have something good to say, hold your tongue. Verse 9, he says the same thing. I was dumb. You know, I was a mute. I didn't speak. I opened not my mouth because thou didst. Because he's saying God has done this. God has put him in this situation. You know, be dumb. Don't open your mouth. God hears. And he's kind of allowed this to happen. He's letting this to happen to you. Could be for correction. Maybe he's letting you go before something like this to correct you. Or maybe just to humble you. When you are feeling like a deaf mute, you're feeling humble. So this is a humbling situation. We can, if you remember the account of Job, you know, in all of Job's losses and all of his troubles, Job 1:22, he says, you know, Job chapter 1, verse 22 says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job had lost a lot. He lost his animals, he lost his servants, he lost his children. But in all this loss and all this trouble, you know, Job didn't sin. He didn't charge God. He didn't blame God foolishly. And then we read in chapter 2, very, very similar to the same thing. Here Job is now covered with boils. In chapter 1, the devil took away everything he had, his family, his servants, his animals. And Job still didn't curse God. So the devil said, well, let me attack his body. And then he'll curse you, Lord. But Job didn't do that. Verse chapter 2, verse 10, Job says, see, he says, you know, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Even though God allowed him to be covered with boils, he says, in all this, did not Job sin with his lips? So we'll be like Job. You know, let's not sin with our lips. If we keep our mouth closed, good chance we don't sin with our lips. You know, we can be wise. You know, it's wise.
Be wise, be dumb.
Yes, a good way to say it. Be wise, be dumb. Good thought, Brother Bob. Good catchy thought. You know, in Proverbs 10:19, a good proverb for us to know, it says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Or there is no lack of sin when there's a lot of words. When you're talking a lot, when you're speaking a lot, there's a chance of a lot of sin. But he that refrains his lips is wise. You know, if you guard your tongue, watch your mouth, you're wise. And then Proverbs 17:28, a proverb, a verse that we fools need to hold on to. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted as wise. Even a fool, if he holds his peace, if he doesn't talk too much, is thought as wise. And then the last part of that verse, and he that shuts his lips is esteemed as a man of understanding. So the whole book of Proverbs teaches us about wisdom, teaches us how to be wise and how to be understanding. His one of the easiest and best ways is to just, you don't want to be thought of as a fool. Well, hold your peace. Don't talk too much. And people will think of you as wise. Shut your mouth. Keep your mouth shut. And people will think that you're a pretty wise man, man of understanding. So just a few little thoughts about, keeping our mouth shut, being dumb and, being deaf, not hearing when somebody, we're supposed to be crucified. Well, if you're crucified, you're dead. Well, if you can't be dead, just be deaf, Maybe I'm not completely dead yet, but at least I'll be deaf to what people say to me. And then if you read in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, speaking of the Lord Jesus, when Jesus is in front of those who wanted to take his life, those who wanted to kill him, Isaiah 53, verse 7 says, he was oppressed, speaking of the Lord. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Giving us a prophecy of the Lord Jesus. Isaiah is prophesying how Jesus is going to behave, what Jesus is going to do when he's afflicted, when he's oppressed, when he's brought before the high priest and the chief priest and the elders of the Jewish people who want to kill him. Isaiah is prophesying what Jesus is going to do. He's not going to open his mouth. He's going to be dumb. He's going to keep his mouth closed. We can follow Jesus' example. Now we can look at where this prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 26. You turn there. I'm going to turn there instead of just reading it from my notes, because Matthew 26, we'll start in verse 58. Actually, we can start in verse 57. This is just the account of Jesus being brought before the high priest. He says, and they that had laid hold on him, they had arrested Jesus, they led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Verse 58, but Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end, to see how this was going to turn out. He wanted to see how this was going to end up. It says, now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. They had false witnesses that they were going to speak to Jesus and say things about Jesus so that they could put Jesus to death. But verse 60 says, they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. And they said, this fellow, speaking of Jesus, said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? So here Jesus is before this witness or these witnesses, and he's not saying anything. Don't you hear what people are saying? Don't you hear what these witnesses are saying? But Jesus doesn't open his mouth. Jesus is like a deaf man, a dumb man, not saying a thing. The high priest says, answerest thou nothing? You're not going to say anything? What is it which these witnesses against thee? These witnesses are speaking against you. You're not going to say anything? Verse 63, but Jesus held his peace. He didn't say a thing. Just held his peace, was quiet. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be Christ, the Son of God. Now the high priest is kind of forcing Jesus to talk. He wants Jesus to say something, so he says, I adjure thee, or I want you to like take an oath and tell me, are you the Christ, the Son of God? So then, now Jesus does speak, and he says the truth, even though he knows what's going to happen. The verse 64, Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, like you said, just what you said. Jesus said in verse 64, thou hast said, yep, just like you said, I am. In fact, in the account of this in the Gospel of Mark, that's what Jesus says, I am. He says, are you the Christ, the Son of God? And Jesus says, I am. And then he says, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. So Jesus here speaks the truth, even though he knows what's going to happen. This is going to cause the high priest and the chief priest to have what they wanted. Verse 65, it says, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? The high priest says, what do you think? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. So here, Jesus speaks the truth, even though he knows what's the consequences. He knows the consequences of the truth. So sometimes that's also what we have to do. You know, we hold our peace. We don't say anything. We keep quiet. Just let people say false things about us. But sometimes we just have to say the truth, even if we know the consequences. And that's what Jesus does here. He spoke the truth, knowing the consequences. Let's see what Peter does. In the same chapter, in these same verses, we'll see what Peter does. I think Peter knows the consequences of speaking the truth, so he doesn't speak the truth. You know, we read in verse 58, just a few verses ago, it said, Peter followed Jesus afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in, and sat with the servants to see the end. Well, then it picks up in verse 69, you know, it says, now Peter sat without in the palace, so Peter is sitting there in the palace, and a damsel, a maid, came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But Peter denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Peter denies that he's with Jesus. He says, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. And we go on. Verse 71, and when he was gone out into the porch, another damsel saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath this time, I do not know the man. So here, well, verse 74, then began he to curse. Oh, wait, verse 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by. Verse 73. So more people have come by, and they said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them. For thy speech bereath thee. Your speech, the way you talk, your accent gives you away. You've got to be one of Jesus' followers. You sound like probably somebody from Galilee and not somebody from Judah. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the rooster crowed, just like Jesus prophesied. Here's a time where, you know, Peter probably should have followed the Lord's example. I'm sure he saw, or maybe he didn't see, but the Lord gives him a good example to follow what happened. I know if Peter could, he would certainly like to change the way those verses read. We could think about it that way. Let's see if we would change and see, just change the verses to bless Peter. In verse 69, it says, "The damsel said to Peter, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." Let's change it to say, instead of, "But he denied before them all," "But he was dumb." Let's just say Peter could have said that. "He was dumb and opened not his mouth." The Lord would have been pleased when they accused Peter of something, if he just would have said nothing. And then in verse 71, "And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were with him, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." We changed that verse, verse 72. "And again he opened not his mouth, and he held his peace." Well, would those verses have made Peter look good in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of God, following the Lord's example? We could read it a little further. "Then after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, Surely thou also art one of them. Surely you must be one of them, for your speech, for your accent gives you away." Well, then Peter could say, just like Jesus says, "Then he said, As you say, I am one of his, for he is the Christ, the Son of God." Boy, could you imagine if that would happen? If Peter would have followed the Lord's example, was quiet, opened not his mouth, then as he was pressed again, held his peace and didn't say a word, and then as they pressed him to say, "You must be one of them. Your accent gives you away," then he would say, "As you say, I am one of his, for he is Christ, the Son of God." You know, that would have, Peter wouldn't have wept. Peter wouldn't have gone away bitterly, like verse 75 says, "And he went out and wept bitterly." The Lord would have been pleased. We can't change history, but we can take the Lord's good example and Peter's bad example and say, we can change the way we would respond. Why did Peter have to open his mouth? He could have just stayed quiet. You know, that would have satisfied the Lord. That would have pleased the Lord. He could have just held his peace. He could have just been as a dumb man. But he had to say something. He had to defend himself. He couldn't just let him say something bad about him, something that would hurt him. So he had to defend himself. We, like Peter, often have to open our mouths. We can't just keep our mouths shut. I mean, so many times, I mean, I was reading these verses 2 weeks ago, and I thought they would have made a difference in my life. But just 2 days ago, I opened my mouth and hurt somebody I really loved. Not my wife. But by responding, that they said something hurtful to me. What happened?
Sorry, please forgive me.
What?
Get my
Bible.
It was a Bible app talking to her.
Oh, I didn't hear it. I was just a deaf man.
She's okay. She's
okay. No problem, sister. No problem. But I mean, I know these verses. You know, we hear these things. We see how Jesus acted, how he didn't respond when people. And we think, well, I can do that. But all of a sudden, somebody says something that upsets you, and boy, you respond back. You know, so we never can hear this enough. We never can hear this enough. We have to be like the Lord and not like Peter. Because we open our mouths, and what do? We sin. You know? Well, I want to continue in Matthew, and we'll pick up in verse, we'll pick up in chapter 27. We'll just go to the next chapter since we ended in chapter 26. So we'll turn over and we'll look. It says this is when they bring Jesus before Pilate. And this, Jesus does the same thing. He says, when the morning was come, chapter 27, verse 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. So they brought him before the high priest and accused him of blasphemy. And now they want to make sure they can put him to death, so they're bringing him before the governor, before Pontius Pilate. So we read there, and then we pick up in verse 9. Is that where I want to pick up? No, verse 11, not 9. Verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. So Peter does, I mean, Jesus does talk to Pilate. Because, you know, I suppose he thought the Jewish leaders would know the scriptures, would know the Psalms, but Pilate is a Roman. He doesn't know what the scriptures say, doesn't know how to be a deaf man or a dumb man. So Peter does, I've said it again, Jesus does answer Pilate. And then verse 12, he says, and when he was accused of the chief priests, so here the chief priests and the elders are accusing him, he answered nothing. So here we see Jesus says nothing again. And then Pilate said unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? You know, here is Jesus. It's almost like Jesus, he says, hearest thou not? Don't you hear? If you're a deaf man, you don't hear. So Jesus is like a deaf man here. And Pilate say, don't you hear? Don't you hear what they're saying against you? And then here in verse 14, it's like Jesus is a mute. He doesn't say anything. And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. So here we see Jesus is acting like a deaf man. He doesn't see, he doesn't hear what the elders and the priests are saying about him, how they're accusing him. And then he is like a deaf mute. He doesn't say a word. And it makes the governor marvel. He can't believe that. How can this be? He's following the scriptures. He's following what we read in Psalm 38 and 39. He's being deaf and dumb to people that are speaking against him. And then we'll continue reading this, but I want to read it in the Gospel of John. Actually, this is the second time that they bring Jesus before Pilate. They bring Jesus before Pilate, and then they bring him out, and Pilate says, what do I do with this man? I'm sure we all remember, they have Barabbas. They have Barabbas and Jesus, and Pilate is able to release one of them. And the people say they want Barabbas. So, and what do I do with Jesus, the king? And the people cry, crucify him, crucify him. So they bring him back before Pilate again John chapter 19. So if you turn to John chapter 19. John 19, verse 7, it says, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Verse 8, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. You know, now he's going to have to put a man he believes is innocent, he's going to have to put him to death. So they say in verse 9, it says, and went again into the judgment hall. So now he goes again into the judgment hall and says unto Jesus, whence art thou? Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Here again, Jesus does the same thing. Pilate is talking to him, and he says, whence art thou? You know, who are you? Where are you from? But Jesus gives no answer this time. He just remains silent. Verse 10, then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? You're not going to talk to me? You're not going to answer me? Don't you hear me? Aren't you going to answer me? And then he says, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and I have power to release thee? Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? And then Jesus answers in verse 11. He says, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Jesus knows that the power that Pontius Pilate has is given to him by God. And actually, this is God's will, God's the Father's will, to bring him to this place. He finishes the verses, therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greatest sin. You know, Pilate has a terrible, terrible sin, but the Jews, the high priests and the chief priests, they're the ones that have the greatest sin. You know, this kind of brings us back to what we read in verse 9 of Psalm 39. In Psalm 39, verse 9, you know, David says, I was as a dumb man. I opened not my mouth because you did this. He says, because God did this to me. God's in control. You know, it's the Father's will that we stand before wicked men and say nothing. Sometimes the Father just puts us in these situations, oftentimes, and we just say nothing and trust the Lord. Put our trust in God and not in what we can do or not in defending ourselves, but to just, you know, say, God's in control. God the Father is allowing this to happen, just like he allowed it to happen to the Lord Jesus. I mean, he could have stopped it at any time, but it wasn't his will. Just like he allowed Job to go through all that affliction, all that terrible loss and sickness. But Job didn't sin with his mouth. Job didn't curse God. So sometimes the Lord allows this, and we just say, well, it's in your hands, Lord. I'm believing you're doing this, and I'm just going to be quiet. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not even going to hear anything. I'm just going to hold my peace and let you be in control. Trust you, Lord. And then I'm going to kind of end. I'd like to end by flipping over to 1 Peter. Another Jesus is our example. That's what we read in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. We start in verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. It says, for this is thankworthy. This is good. This is commendable. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, it's good if you suffer. If you endure grief for conscience toward God. And he says, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your fault, you take it patiently? If you deserve to be buffeted, if you deserve to be beaten, you take it patiently. What good is that? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And then he says, verse 21, for even here until were you called. That's what we were called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. You know, Jesus is our example. Right. An example how to respond when People say terrible things about you. It says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Jesus didn't sin. He didn't sin with his mouth. He has no guile in his mouth. He says, who, the Lord Jesus, when he was reviled, reviled not again. That's what we're supposed to do when somebody reviles us, when someone says terrible things about us. Not to say terrible things back to them. Not to, they curse you, don't curse them back. Jesus is our example, because when he was reviled, he didn't revile back. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. What did he do? He committed himself. He trusted in the Lord. He trusted in his Father, knowing that the Father would do what's right. You know? He's our example. When he was abused verbally, he didn't abuse back. He didn't speak back. And that's, I mean, that's what our flesh wants to do. You might be saved and serving God and praying and reading your Bible every day, but when someone says something ugly to you, boy, you got to grab your mouth. You got to guard your mouth because you want to say something. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have that flesh crucified because, boy, do you want to say something right back? And that's not what we want to do. We want to say, we want to be deaf. We want to be deaf and dumb. We want to be as deaf men, as dumb men, and not say a word. Just hold our peace. We'll be like the Lord. We'll be wise. We'll be considered as wise. God hears what the wicked people say to us. God knows. He hears. Even what good people say. Sometimes good people say something. People you love, they say something to you and it hurts you. But we are not to speak to them the way they spoke to us. We are to be like deaf men who don't hear it. We are to be like dumb men who cannot speak back. We are to commit ourselves to him who judges righteously, like the Lord is our example. You know, turn it all over to the Father. Let God be the judge, not you, not me. I'm not going to say, well, do you know what you're saying to me? And try to straighten it out. Just let, I'm going to be quiet. We're all going to learn this. And you know, we need to be deaf to the words of the devil, because the devil's going to talk to you. He's always going to tell you things. So be deaf to the words of the devil. But don't be dumb, because we can speak back to the devil. You may not want to speak back to an enemy or a person or even a loved one, but you can speak back to the devil. When he tells you something, you know, we have the armor of God. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, the helmet, I don't know, Brother Bob, when you put on your helmet, how good do you hear? without little speakers or anything in your helmet.
No, couldn't hear at all.
Couldn't hear at all. Praise God. That's what I wanted. So take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation protects our head. You know, we want to think in our minds. We want to protect our brains that we're saved. We keep, but if you put on that helmet, it might also block your ears and you can't hear. You'll be like a deaf man. Somebody can say, the devil can say something to you. You can say, devil, I don't hear a word. All I hear is I'm saved. The Lord saved me. Right? So put on the helmet of salvation. I didn't even think of that until I started to look at this. And I said, you know, I've put on a helmet before. A motorcycle helmet or a different helmet. And usually you can't hear a thing. So, but we also can take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that is what we can speak. You know, we can talk to the devil and quote the scriptures like Jesus did. Right. No matter what the devil says to you, you be deaf to what he says, and then you tell him the word of God. And that's the sword of the Spirit. You can poke at the devil with that sword and, you know, let him know that you're not hearing him, but at the same time you're attacking him with the sword of the Spirit. But to the voice of God, to the voice of the devil, we're going to be deaf. But to the voice of God, we're not going to be deaf. But we are going to be dumb. When God tells us something, we're not going to say a word. Whatever you say, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't know why, but I'm going to just be, I'm going to shut my mouth and listen. You know, we're going to hear it, but we're not going to say a word. As Revelations 2 and 3 tells us, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We're going to hear what the Spirit says to us. We're going to be, you know, dumb to the Word of God. We're not going to, dumb and mean we're going to be mute. We're not going to talk. We're not going to say, when God tells us something, we're not going to ask questions. We're not going to say, I don't understand. I don't know why. We're just going to say, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you say. But we're going to hear what he says.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let me close this with prayer, and then we can be blessed as we follow the example of the Lord. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your word that instructs us and guides us, even convicts us and rebukes us. Father, we thank you that with your grace, we can be deaf to people who speak harshly to us, and dumb, Lord, that we don't respond back. We ask you to be with us, Lord, because we know that you always are. We ask you to be merciful, Lord, when we mess up, because we do want to repent of our sins, the sins of our mouth. We do thank you, Father, that you forgive us as we confess our sins and turn over, Lord, our tongues and our mouth to you. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and I do pray that you help all of us to be like the Lord Jesus, our example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.